Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
So, Jordan, do we consider this an era, or are we waiting? Is this the Lunny era?
No.
No? What do we call this?
The void.
The void. The Lunny void. Sounds dirty.
No, the Morris void.
The Morris void. Okay, then. I don't know. I'm excited, though. I'm happy for Barry Lunny. And just seeing how he handles the media and kind of cracks up with them. I mean, he's been here for 7 years, really knows these guys probably.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing. He definitely seems to have more fun with them.
Well, you know, he's just trying to make this press conference the best.
Nope, stop. Stop right there.
Oh, sorry.
Stop right there.
The void. It was the void.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
That's unacceptable. All right.
That's unacceptable.
Everything was
vanilla. He seems to be embracing it pretty good, though, right? I mean, he's jumped in there, and you know that this is everything he's ever wanted. So I imagine we will see a different team these next 2 weeks.
I imagine so, too. You want me to just get right into the presser? I mean, we got a few questions, and I think we're going to give a little retort to some of these. So we'll start with number one. I think this is from Bob Holt. So we'll go after it.
Aside from motivating players, how do you motivate basically a lame duck staff?
Woo!
Lame duck staff.
Hey, man, he was technically part of that staff, right? I mean, come on.
Right?
Easy now.
Like, hold on just a minute here, Bobby.
Calm down. I'm pretty sure that's Bob. I'm not very good with the voices of the press, but pretty sure. But
that sounds like a veteran.
Well, let's continue.
And just what do you do as far as recruiting this open week?
Sure. That's a good question. You know, I think Hunter met with us this morning and said it very clearly and very well. And I think he said things that we all know is, you know, everybody at our table, almost a man, has been through this in some way, shape, or form. And the thing you can't lose sight of and that we're going to refuse to lose sight of is that, you know, we don't really owe anything to anybody other than our players and ourselves make the best of the next 3 weeks for these young men. And we got, like Hunter said, we've got 120 players down there that has not reaped the benefit of the hard work, the labor, the off season. Football is, no offense, I see Coach Neighbors back here, and who was one of my first youth coaches that I ever had, by the way. The best, I should say the best youth coach I've ever had. That's what makes football so unique. You know, you work all the way year round, and anymore, it is truly year round. Summer, fall, spring, and you get 12 chances. You get 12 chances to reap benefits of a victory. And when you don't, man, it can become tiring and laboresome, and it's becomes a burden when you put all that work in without the effort. And so we've got 2 weeks left of a guaranteed 12 game season. We got two games left for them to go to try to reap benefits of the work and the effort that they put in the offseason. And so we owe that to them as a staff, these kids, and we owe that to ourselves to put our best foot forward for these last two football games. And I'm very confident that we're going to do that.
He knows his role. He knows, yeah. He knows what he's tasked to do, get these kids going, some kind of positivity, try to finish the year strong as you can against the next two opponents. And I don't know, build
something.
This
dude's been waiting his whole life, his whole adult life for this moment, and his first game is LSU.
Yeah.
The best LSU team possibly in the history of LSU teams, and that's his first game.
Yep. Coming.
So,
I mean,
you'll get it, Tiger.
Who's LSU got some cupcake this week? I'm not quite sure. Are they even playing? I don't know. Oh, yeah, they are because they went into a bye with Bama. So, but, hey, they're also coming off a win with Bama.
Yeah, exactly. But do you think, do you really think, though, that it's going to be a big difference? I really think it will be. I mean, when I say big, talking about maybe get the juice back, kind of have a little bit more bounce in their step, come out there and they have Ole Miss, by the way. So Cupcake, yeah. Come out there and just at least play hard, as we said in our last episode, or as I said, one of the biggest things that I was going with week to week was the effort, never quit. But the last, probably going all the way back to what, Mississippi State was terrible, Alabama, you know, last three or four games wasn't there. And I feel like we're going to see a little bit peppier team. And I actually think that Missouri is now looking a little more realistic and getting a dub. Not saying it's going to happen, but just a little bit more realistic.
I feel like Little Rock's going to be a funner game in terms of maybe attendance. And I think for the LSU game, they'll probably come out with hype. I mean, it's easy to talk up this game and should be able to get the juices flowing, because no matter what, you're playing the number one team in the country at their house, now under the lights.
Yeah, well, that's just wrong, you NCAA assholes.
Yeah, we...
or SEC, whoever did that to us.
So, you know, God. Play under the lights, play up, look good, that whole deal. I can't finish that statement. So,
how long until that game matters again?
Can I, like, have an... Can I take a rain check on that and see who we get?
No, what your gut says right now. Just because both of our guts say your check's going to do the right thing, right?
2 years.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. You said gut, so as soon as you said it, 2 years was my... So, that's what
so
I mean. 2 years.
2022 season.
21.
2021 season. Yeah. Ooh. All right, Dan. I see you.
Hey. I've got a lot that I want to see happen in that 2021 season. Because we also, yeah.
Well, God, it's never at our best.
Nope.
Is it? It's never
not,
at
not,
our
not,
best.
Not in the regular season, that's for sure.
My Lord. But you've look. Got some notes written down here from Lunny's, I guess, first official week of practice
this
as
was after
the interim
today's,
head coach.
Yeah, this was after today's practice. They kind of compressed it, cut the media out of one of the practices, and he kind of cut up with them a little bit, walking over to them and said, I'll have to talk to Kyle, who's in charge of the communications over the hair, keeping you guys out in the cold and compressing it when it's probably, honestly, his call, you know?
Yeah.
And then he just kind of cracks up with them, but he fields a few questions. The one that really jumped out to me, the first one, was they asked him about injuries and if he foresaw any. And initially he said no, and then he's like, wait, let me think about it. And then he said Catalan's done for the season. Ooh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that story shouldn't have – I mean, if you haven't really broken into how his redshirt has essentially been burned, which it should have been burned this year, I honestly –
in a different way.
In a different way, not in, you know, garbage time and kneel downs or in 12 snaps via three games.
God, that just goes back to, we're not going to harp on this for too awful long, but just Morris's lack of awareness or competence or understanding of the redshirt rule. I don't understand, but yeah, We should have brought that list up because we had a pretty good article explaining all that. And for our listeners, just know that we have screwed – no, we, Morris, has screwed over a lot of these young freshmen that we were excited about, screwed their opportunity to get valuable reps. There were multiple guys that literally were in for knee-taking plays. And if you step foot on that field on a down, that is a game.
Yep.
There's not – reps that count towards your four-game red shirt. It is a single snap. And what was there, two or three that literally came in for kneel downs?
Two of them stick out to me. I believe it was a lineman, offensive lineman, yeah. And a safety.
Stromberg, right? Wasn't Stromberg one of
Ricky's
those?
Played plenty. It's Ratliff.
Yeah.
Ratcliffe?
Yeah, Ratliff. And a couple guys come in for a last minute of a half. I mean, it's just terrible.
We know what happened there, and we are moving on from that end of an error. So another thing, we mentioned the compressed practice, moving it a little quicker. He said there's an emphasis on moving quicker, kind of getting the juices going, and quicker practices over longer practices was the deal. And there's also, for this week, no tackling. And he also cut out the music, and he said it wasn't as a punishment. It was to create their own hype, create their own juice, and, you know, it's not always going to be loud and hopping every game.
So. Especially if you're playing at Donald W.
Luckily, they don't have to do that yet.
They're done this year. And you also got jotted down here, all QBs getting reps. So he had in that opening press conference with announcing his interim status, he mentioned, you know, all the QBs are open to play. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that he said that I didn't agree with. And it could have been just sort of to save face type situation. But, man, he could have won the state over in a heart. Well, he already has. Yeah. He's had that one. But he could have put a lot of smile on a lot of people's faces if he said, KJ is our starter.
Well, one thing that he mentioned was, you know, he wants to keep LSU guessing, which is
He did have a funny little deal with that. That's true.
Which is transparency. So there's that.
Referenced it to a Gomer Powell.
But I also think it's probably letting him go in with a little bit of fresh eyes. You know, when he's an assistant, he's going in there watching his guys, and we don't know how spread out he was during practices being part of the special teams coordinator, which that seems to be the only shift. They're bringing in a quality assurance guy to be on the sideline to help with that in terms of the special teams play to kind of alleviate some of that with money. So go in there with some fresh eyes. Most likely we would assume KJ at this point, but hey, he's going to keep it up in the air. But he's told you that, and he's told LSU that, so for whatever it's worth, make them look at everybody for whatever amount of tape we have on all of them.
And at least he verbalized that.
Well, I mean, he started out with, you know, kind of the little joke that he's like, oh, I know I need to answer the question that everyone's been thinking about leading into this Baton Rouge game, which I love that he doesn't say LSU or Tigers.
Yeah.
He just says the Baton Rouge game. And he says, the Baton Rouge game, I have not announced a starting punter.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that kind of goes back to being able to cut up with the press a little bit. We've got a question with Nikki. You want me to play that audio?
Yeah. Right.
Which, with the bye week, how much can you do with that much time to get ready for LSU? How much can you change? And do you feel like you can tailor the game a little bit more towards your personnel with all that time?
Well, I those are good questions as well, Nikki. I think you're limited. I know you are. You're limited in what exactly you can do with a short turnaround. I mean, we do have an extra couple days of prep that we will use for our advantage that we have to. LSU plays a game this week, so that in itself gives us an advantage of a few days of studying them and learning some more intricate details about things that we're going to see from a game plan standpoint. Can you install, or would you want to install drastic changes? No. We've been working hard the last 2 years on our schemes on both sides of the ball and special teams. I think we'd be remiss at this point to come in and try to do a wholesale change, and I don't think that's necessary. Really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is if we got to play with more heart. It doesn't matter what scheme we had. We could install the triple option in the bye week, and if our guys don't believe in each other and believe that they're going to win and play with great resolve and effort and toughness and grit, it doesn't matter what we do in that regard. And that's really what we've seen for the last few weeks. Since, like Hunter said, the halftime of the Kentucky game, we just haven't been the same. I think our players lost heart a little bit after we had a game in our grasp and we let it go. And I think it hurt and stung them. And we just haven't recovered from that in a lot of ways. And so my main concern and my main priority is not scheme-based. Sure, is there going to be some things that I would like to see, some small things? Yes, there are. Will those be obvious to the outside eye? Probably not. But my main concern is to get these guys to give their best foot forward and play our best football game of the year. Again, I want to say this, and our kids understand this. I said this last night. Our goal is to play our best football game of the year against Baton Rouge. And whatever that looks like, I don't really care, but I want it to be our best football game.
Noses roll.
Man, that's just so much there. Like, mm-hmm. heart, resolve, best football game. I mean, that should be the goal every damn week, right?
He's also using the press conferences and the interviews to talk to his coach or talk to his players again, which every coach should. And I didn't feel like there was a lot of that with the previous guy.
Well, there's a lot of bus throwing.
Driving. Yeah. So, but probably the other thing, not too shocking, is the decommitments that we're getting out of this stuff. Lunny mentioned, because he was asked about that as well today after practice, the commits and the fact that he has visited and talked to commits or guys that were committed. So I would assume that also means guys that have already decommitted. We're down to six guys now, or whatever that's worth. That's why
three of which are home state guys.
Mm-hmm. You want to touch on some of the guys that we've lost so far?
Well, I'd say probably the biggest one that stands out to everybody and they didn't really see coming was Chandler Morris.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was a big surprise there. I mean,
yeah, he, you know, we really thought that one was locked, put away, threw away the key type thing. But, no, he obviously actually just decommitted yesterday. We're recording today, November 13th, and he decommitted on the 12th. So, I don't know why he waited. I mean, he could have done that as soon as the announcement was done. But anyway, all seriousness, I'd say probably the two biggest ones would be Savion Williams and John Gentry, the running back. But we also lost – what have we lost, three wide receivers now or two? I guess Turner and Savion were the two wide receivers. And
Magnum.
The biggest thing here, looking at this, though, is every single one of them are Texas boys.
Texas.
But Nikki pointed out yesterday, that she's been in contact with a good majority of these decommits, and every one of them are saying they're not saying it's a no.
They're just reopening.
To see.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't want to sit here, because this recruiting search is going to take well into December, right? We're probably even, well, they want it to be before the early signing period, which is December 12th.
I think it's a little later than that. I want to say 19th.
But
anyway, middle of December. And yeah, that is a game changer with this kind of stuff.
It sucks. You know, and that's something, honestly, that kind of put Chad behind the eight ball, too. You know, give him a little bit of defense there. I mean, he got hired, and then I think he had like 2 weeks to try to make some stuff happen. So, early signing period, I don't really know too many people that are a big fan of that. I think the first recording that we did here was talking about how that's kind of screwed a lot of people over and even given more benefit to the Alabamas and Clemsons, you know, those big time schools. But, the biggest thing, and I bet you Lunny, when he changed his recruiting plan and visited those decommits, I bet he was saying, guys, just don't early sign yet.
That's what he said in the intro. Just wait till all the dust settles. See who we get in here, essentially. And that essentially what they are doing. We shouldn't really call this decommitting. It's reopening their recruiting. You know, we're not saying we're going to stay losing these guys or whatever on that deal there. They're doing their due diligence, the actual recruits here. And I don't fault them at all for it. They want to see who they get. And
I actually respect them this.
Give them the opportunity to recruit them again.
Right. I actually throw a little bit more respect to these guys than the ones that decommit after an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Those guys kind of seem, and I'm not saying this is the case, it just comes off that they have more of a look where it's, oh man, we're not good already. These guys that are committed and then decommitted after firing of a coach, they're like, oh hell, I don't know what my role is going to be. I knew what my role was going to be mm-hmm. with Morris. I don't know what it's going to be because I don't know who the coach is.
I think a lot of this, too, is we've heard that a lot of it is the staff, not necessarily Morris. Like, a lot of these folks want to make sure that Lunny's retained and Step and Trader, running back coach. So, again, can't fault them on that at all. What I do kind of want to touch is definitely changing gears on why we are recording early.
Absolutely.
We're hitting a little early because we will be busy tomorrow, Thursday night, on our normal recording covering the women's basketball game on Press Row.
As media members.
We're not just going to be sitting back there behind them, sneaking our way in. We are glad to join those bunch and cover, and definitely an exciting time with some All-Americans on that team with Chelsea Dungy. Last I checked, they're 22. I don't know if the new rankings came out, but, hey, top 25 program, something to be excited about. Go watch them. Same with a lot of these programs out here. Obviously, we know what the soccer team's doing. There's plenty of sports to occupy you and find something new. Kind of a shout-out to my mom. She has been getting into lacrosse. Now, me personally, I can't watch it, but she loves the lacrosse club, their club level at the university. So, you know, venture out a little bit, try to find something. I plan on trying to watch a little bit more soccer because the atmosphere for soccer matches are high. I know I can't watch soccer on TV. I've tried it. It's one of those that you got to be there in person and be surrounded by hundreds and thousands of your closest friends, right?
Yeah. And, man, this football season sure has just dumped the feelings, right,
for
all of us fans out there. And like you said, get into something else. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to stick to my core, you know, big three. But I have Supercross and Motocross to get me through the dead period. You know, we got some baseball, obviously, around the time Supercross is ending. But if you can extend your horizons, more power to you.
Yeah.
I would like to see an outdoor track meet just to see all those Olympic athletes essentially here at Arkansas. And
the odds are you're going to see someone that represents USA when you go to one of those, and you're probably going to see a gold medal winner of some sort in an event.
But good looking out for you there, or looking out in you there. But hey, man, I've got something that you are going to love.
Love. Oh, man.
This is going to make your heart full. This is going to erase everything that has happened this football season and rejuice one Dylan Lee.
Okay.
Well, you got hit that Twitter dirt button for me?
Oh, you're going to make me switch it over here. Let me get over to it. Okay. It's this button.
Twitter dirt.
And as Dylan has pointed out in past episodes, I took Twitter dirt as something that irritates me, like you're an idiot, this guy on Twitter is stupid. So I have expanded my horizons in the Twitter dirt world, and I found a gem that happened today, like right before we started recording.
Oh, man, you're going to break something for me, huh?
VCU beat number 23-ranked LSU in basketball.
Okay.
Men's basketball. Who's the men's basketball coach, Dylan?
Oh, Willie Wade. You got to go back in the archives for that one, folks. If you have not heard our early stuff, I mean, give us a try there. But we have grown.
At least give us credit for getting better.
Yeah. I would say we've grown and gotten better. But probably my Willie Wade rants, I feel like, could probably go
those
on
are a, some classics.
I feel like that could go on a greatest hits album for our first 50 episodes. That is right. We are 50 plus into this thing.
And I think 54, right?
Yeah. Appreciate it.
It's good stuff. But so Willie Wade has had some run-ins with the law, would you say? There were four FBI agents standing behind and beside the LSU bench. And
oh, man.
These FBI agents were VCU fans decked out in FBI attire and were just hammering Willie Wade all night long. And I saw that and I said, boom, this is for Dylan. He's going to love it. And I'm working on putting it on a flash drive for you so you can take it home with you.
Oh, that is wonderful.
We're talking the mustache, real thick black mustache, shades.
Are we talking? FBI. We're talking. Parks and Rec.
Absolutely.
Oh, geez, Andy, what's his FBI character's name? Come on, now.
Hell, I don't remember that at all.
Oh man,
I just remember.
Yeah, it's gonna bug me, but I'll get to it.
We're talking full Parks and Rec Andy style.
That
absolutely.
Shout out, and Did you, you absolutely did not, because you definitely surprised me with this one. I scrolled down and I saw the notes and I saw Willie Wade and I got a little excited. but it actually segues perfectly into my Twitter dirt.
Okay.
The basketball team obviously beat North Texas and people are upset that we beat them by 20. We should have beat them by more. And I thought that was intriguing because the actual Twitter dirt comes from War Machine and he basically took a screenshot and said, I hate comments like this. And the comment is, really? This is an embarrassment. We only won by 20 to this sorry team. Once we actually play good teams, we may be in for a rude awakening. So first off, we're two games into the Musselman era.
My God.
And we've got that going on. Number two, North Texas just played VCU, who's a top 25 team. There's the segue. A top 25 team on the road. Close. I'm pretty sure within 3 or 2
84-86, points. 84-82.
So, yeah. What are you watching here? Like, I understand it wasn't the prettiest of games, but the defensive performance that was put on by the Razorbacks on that court, Nolan Richardson court, was phenomenal. I mean,
our defensive intensity is insane right now. I understand we're not playing top echelon teams yet, but
you're doing what you're supposed to do.
You're doing, and that's something that has been bugging me all through the Bielema era, the Morris era, the Anderson era. Like, if you can't compete at the top level against the Floridas and LSU last year because, you know, them boys were getting paid, if you can't compete with them guys, that sort of makes sense maybe. Like, you're, you know, they're just better than you. But Georgia Tech last year, not a terrible team, but we got worked by them, especially towards the end of that game last year in basketball. We put on, what do we put, 93 points against Rice? Something, somewhere in there, 91, something like that. And then put 66. Oh, by the way, whoever the hell said that, we have held two teams in two back-to-back games to 43 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how does that not something for you? It doesn't matter that we're not putting 90 on them, because if you remember last year's team at the beginning of the season, we went like 5 games in a row or something going 90-something plus points. Didn't even make the tournament.
Yep.
So what does that tell you? I mean, come on, people.
He can't make everybody happy. And it was a split one here for me, but I will go ahead and shift this because this one is
burning you up.
We've already mentioned that Chandler Morris surprisingly decommitted from the University of Arkansas. Obviously, completely sarcasm from me. But however, the troll jobs and everyone commenting on the tweet that was the decommitment, like he was the reason for the problems at Arkansas, or the people that were surprised, or the people that were, you know, all the stuff that are basically in the replies on Chandler Morris's tweet, you idiots. It goes back to just not adding recruits, period. But also, during this, don't go after the kid.
Dad just lost a job. Granted, he's still getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, he going to be all right. But, you know, if anything, he gets paid the money. You know, Chad gets paid the money to handle this stuff. Chandler is off limits. It's just how it is.
So, someone was saying that he was the reason we're not good?
Just. Complete troll job stuff, man. Like,
I read some of those and a lot were unavailable.
That's because they've been reported or something of that nature.
You're right.
Like, okay, you're gonna make me do it. So
do it. Hell, inform us.
So I was just gonna keep it kind of vague for, you know, that reason, but he didn't take it down, did he?
Are you trying to go back and find that?
Yeah.
He might have had to take it down because that stuff was, like I said, I read some stuff in defense of Chandler, and they were responding to some tweet that I didn't catch in time, and a lot of people saying good luck and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There was a whole lot of that, but there was definitely some going after him. So
we always say it, don't. At players, don't love when you at coaches, but they're grown men. Like you said, they're getting paid. You know, they should be able to handle it. But don't at players. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, here's one that says, I could care less. But, I mean, the people that were coming through, so, yeah, there's been a lot that are now unavailable that are probably ones I'm referring to. But, I mean, in terms of people voicing their support, I mean, these are quality guys. Davenport, Mark Henry's father. We also have Bobby Bones. I mean, you're talking.
Bobby Bones has been pretty active here lately, yeah.
So, there's been a whole lot. Oh, here's the one that really kind of stuck at me, and won't give the guy any credit, but oh my God, we're not getting a 5'7", 150 frat boy coach's son. We are doomed. So that,
do they watch football?
That is completely ignorant. I mean, he is in the elite 11. He is a quality talent. Now, me personally, if we were talking, I'd rather Chris Well, but that is neither nor or here, whatever I'm trying to say.
Here nor there.
But yeah, that category of folks, you enter the ISF Hall of Fame, ignorant sports fans. I know you're probably just being a troll job, but there's no place for it. And
no.
If you surround yourself with negative people, you're going to have that kind of feeling. And right now, the fan base needs some positivity. I'm not sitting here trying to push rainbows and all that stuff. You still have to be critical and that kind of stuff. It comes to the point, but rally. We need to rally the fan base.
We don't. Yeah, we're losing commits, and again, we just hit on that, so I don't have to rehash that. But do you want to look like that? I mean, it's never going to stop. I have social media in my life. I have an Instagram, basically to follow my motocross, supercross stuff. I have Twitter because we do this.
Yep.
And
at JRD Hawcast.
That's it. At JRD Hawcast. And at JRose2289 for, you know,
COVID. Hey, no personal plugs.
But, man, really, the social media is a flipping terrible thing.
Yeah.
It gives those fat boys sitting in their mama's basements naked in the chair eating Cheetos a lot of freaking balls to just be stupid. Talk that big game, you know, the kind of people. I saw this just the other day, 90% of the people that talk that on social media wouldn't even get out of a vehicle if it came down to it.
Yeah.
And it encourages those. I hate it. Especially dude's dad just got fired. Mm-hmm. Dude's dad just got embarrassed nationally for 9-10 straight weeks. And you're going to do some stuff like that to him.
I mean, honestly, he didn't need to make a post. But
he didn't need to make a post, so. And he opened himself up to it. I understand that. But at the same time, freaking get a – did I say this on the show? Get a journal.
Right.
Get a journal and write this shit down on your own, man.
And then burn it.
And then burn it, absolutely. Save it for a whole football season because that'd be a lot of paper. Have you a nice little fire at the end of the year when it's nice and cold. Roast some marshmallows with your dumb words burning into it and have a nice little evening with yourself.
And you could have s'mores.
You could have s'mores.
I think, I mean, we've definitely touched on social media. We don't need to go too far into it. But the fact that you can hide behind, you know, not even having your name on there or not having
burner accounts,
not having your face on there, hiding behind memes, whatever it may be, keyboard commandos or keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. I don't get it. Like, you don't have any enjoyment or fulfillment in your life, that's what you got to do? Go after a complete stranger or someone
kids.
You've never met? Kids? I mean, and
kids.
Let's be honest, these individuals, they're probably over 30 at least, I would say.
I bet you a real good majority of them are. Yeah, absolutely. Those
I would
couch coaches and all that.
I would want to think I'm definitely painting with broad strokes here, but folks younger than me, and however you want to label them, I think millennial is probably the keyword that's being tossed around here. Those folks aren't really going to be about that life. You know, a lot of folks having to go through the bullying and all that kind of stuff. We're not here to do PSAs, but I don't think that's where it's going to happen. And it's really sad that essentially that's where people have to find their enjoyment. Grown-ass men have to go after kids and feel better about themselves. I don't get it. What, you get a like, you get a retweet because you say some stupid shit? Move on. Do something right. with yourself.
Exactly. I'm moving on from that because that really does irritate me. But let's get in here for what these next few recordings are going to be. The next a lot of recordings are going to be about. We got two names that are being brought up way too much for this coaching search.
Oh, we're going back into the coaching search. Well, we got to play, you know, it's going to be a long time. Like, this is going to be a long road. We probably got 3-4 weeks before it even really kicks up.
Kicks up steam, right.
I'm assuming here. This. Okay, I'll let you after it.
Leach and Norvell.
Oh, boy.
Are the leading candidates, and I just do not understand. We will address the second one that I mentioned here in a minute. But Leach, why? Why do you want Mike Leach here? Why do you want a guy that can't get it done in the Pac-12, a ridiculously weak Pac-12? A guy who is constantly pulling in, I'd say consistently without looking up stats, top 30 recruiting classes?
Probably.
On the norm, I would say. And he can't beat – he can't win the Pac-12 championship. Have they been considered even remotely close once to the college football playoff, maybe 3 years ago? I think they might have been around 8 or 9 and then shit the bed in the bowl game, something like that. I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can't see how these weaker conferences coaches that we want, that people say we want, if they can't get it done in these weaker conferences, how the hell are you going to get it done in the SEC, let alone the SEC West?
Right.
I don't get it.
So the thing that irritates me with the Leach stuff is people bring up his press conferences and that he fits good here. And
PR.
That PR, he would be PR gold, and that, what was the other thing? The Little Rock. The fact that he mentioned Little Rock and that it was one of the loudest places. I mean, it's a concrete bowl. It is a loud place if you pack the damn thing. It's just right. designed that way.
And that's once a year, or once every other year yeah. now.
So, I really can't get on board with Leach. I understand the Norvell talk. That's about where I can put that. We're going to go a little bit more on that because I get to hit another button here in a little bit. And the thing, going back to the PR, I think Chad Moore has kind of proved that no matter what, obviously, things started turning, but no matter how you handle the press, people are still going to fill some seats because at the beginning, they were people coming in and sitting, and, like, it just, the last, what we say, 3 or 4 home games was when the fan base let it be known that they weren't yeah. really happy in terms of attendance, right. and it just started dipping out. So, I don't get the PR. I really just don't get the PR bulletin. Is that how you want to coach? I want X's and O's. I don't.
You think saving
don't give
is
a you don't win the game in a press conference, no matter what Chad Moore says.
No matter how good of a press conference you're having right now.
Yeah, and that's why we keep referencing it, because it is a very, you will catch on to keywords we have said through all of this recording and all through this season. Vanilla, but is. By design, unacceptable, and stuff we just kept hearing. And that's a reason, because they're punchlines. We don't give a crap about that. Do something on the field. X's and O's. And, I mean, you just go through, and the only game I watched was when he blew, like, a 30-point lead to UCLA. So, if that's what you want.
This year?
This year.
Yeah, yeah.
To a very bad Chip Kelly team.
Very bad. I'm looking too. I've got his. Well, you're talking. Never mind. I'm on a different boat than you right now. So. You're still talking Leach, right?
Yeah. You want me to go ahead and do it?
Do it.
All right.
Mailbag.
Well, he's always there. We appreciate him. I think I'm gonna let you lead this one off because. It's definitely more pointed towards you, I feel like.
It absolutely is.
Our boy from Andy, or our boy Andy from Memphis. I guess disclaimer for anyone that does call into the line, text or call, but definitely on the call side at 479-308-8605. There is 3 minutes because this is a voicemail line. This isn't a call. Right. If you want to come in, do a live call, we can set that up.
If you want to do that, shoot us a text.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I would like to call in, and we can make it happen. But as far as going straight to the number, it's got you capped out at 3 minutes.
3 minutes. That's what you get. We ain't cutting you off. We let you run. We usually go about an hour. We won't give you a full hour. This is our show, first off. But, right. So yeah, no disrespect. We'll lead into it. Here is Andy from Memphis.
Guys, this is Andy from Memphis. I can't believe I got to try to sell y'all on my... Y'all, he must have slept with one of your sisters or something, man. I don't know why y'all hate him so much, but the guy is a proven winner at this point. These are no longer Fuente's recruits. He's been there 4 years. These are all his players. Every quarterback he's had to take a snap under him there at Memphis, he brought in personally. Now, you want to talk about an offense that knows how to use its skilled playmakers? Every year they've had a 1,500-yard running back. Every year. This year, their number one guy who didn't get any carries last year, would have, could have gone to the draft, came back because they had a 2,000-yard rusher last year. He broke his foot in the first game. He's been out. They didn't do nothing but put in a redshirt freshman that, oh, only had the first 200-yard receiving and 100-yard rushing game. The first time that's happened in, 20 years, I think, something like that ESPN said. You want to get the ball to the tight end? Oh, they have just a little under-known two-and-a-half-star guy out of the local area called Joey Magnifico, bringing in catches all over the field, catching touchdowns. They got a wide receiver that nobody ever heard of, Coxie, they got getting the ball to. The guy knows how to find your good three-star players, get them into the league. He can coach kids up. Talking about knowing how to line, you tell me Arkansas's line on paper hadn't been recruited better than Memphis has, yet they ain't giving up sacks all over the field. The guy knows how to coach up the talent he has. And you want to say it's against the AAC? Well, the AAC ain't had nothing but a couple of first-round draft picks on defense. Guy to Houston, oh, yeah, they play them every year. Beat them the last 3 years in a row. You want to talk about not getting embarrassed on special teams? Look at Memphis, best special teams in the nation right now. Before Fuente and not Fuente, but before Norvell got there, they'd only had two return touchdowns in Memphis in the past 20 years. One of them came back against Tennessee in that mid-90s. In the past 4 years, he ain't had nothing but 10 touchdowns returned on kickoffs. They've not done nothing but put a field goal kicker in the league, and this next one is going to go too. So you're going to talk about an immediate upgrade in an area where we can get some teams, special teams? Look at what Norvell's done at Memphis with special teams. All right? Now, he's getting teams to championship games. I think we'd take that right now. You say, well, he's not winning them. Yeah, he lost two of them in back-to-back games having to go on the road. This ain't no neutral site game. They had to go on the road to play at Central Florida the past 2 years. All right? They lost. He had a 10-win season this first year. All right? They come back, had 8-6. And this 10-win team is nothing but his players, and they're going to win 10 games again this year.
All right, so that's the first part where we – did not cut him off, but you want the second part of that? Or
go and roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right.
This is Andy from Memphis again. Y'all cutting me off. I don't like that either. Y'all get me fired up about Norvell. The guy is a hell of a coach. Now, y'all may not like him for whatever reason, but just go look at what he's actually done as opposed to this last clown they brought in from SMU. Ain't one doodlet freaking squat, and you're going to be all sad on Norvell. He's one of these people you look at. He wins games, does it with less talent. He's having to recruit in an SEC hotbed. All right? If you want to get some, bring in some talent, you get in Norvell up to Fayetteville. Now, you know how much talent is in the city of Memphis and how long it always is rated by Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss? All right? You get him in an SEC school. Now we're bringing in this pipeline on. We only had a few good players come out of Memphis in Arkansas time. I refer to a guy by the name of old Ken Hamlin. He was pretty good. We could be getting guys like that on the regular. And I ain't going to talk too more because I don't want to get cut off again. But you better not be so sad on Norvell if we get him because he's going to be good.
All right, that's it.
All right. Love it. Thank you for calling in, Andy. Now, here's why you're wrong. This Norvell fella has been coaching at Memphis since 2016. He did win their division in 2017, but they have gone to a bowl game in the past 3 years, looking like they will be this year. He has not won one of them. This year, he has a loss to a 6-3 Temple team. Temple. I don't understand. I mean, that's the equivalent of freaking San Jose State, in my opinion. And he can't. He's coaching in a American Athletic Conference. Like, if he's so good, Andy, if he's so good, and you want him here coaching in the SEC West, I would feel better about it if he had 13-0 seasons all across the board. He was 8-6 last year, and he tied for first. Like, there was a three-way tie for first. That's how sorry that conference is.
Mm-hmm.
He was 8-6. You're cool with that? I don't get it. It's stupid. I don't understand.
I mean, it goes – he's all over the place. I mean, he definitely had his notes laid out for him. I am a fan of special teams. I have said that before. But
you're for the brand, bro.
I am for the brand. I really don't give a crap if Arkansas sends kickers to the league as long as they're making them now.
Right. No, I mean, so Ken Hamlin, yeah, obviously, was a Razorback, and I believe he played for the Cowboys for a while.
Yes, he did.
If I'm not mistaken. So I'm always cool with that, but I'm just looking, Andy, I'm just looking. And so far this year, the lowest they've given up is 6 points. The highest they have given up is 48 points. Granted, it was SMU, but I just feel like you're just going to get a more exaggerated version of what he's doing in Memphis. If you're cool with 7-5, 6-6, if you're cool with doing the Brett Bielema style of stuff, then hey, by all means, get in there. Let's get this guy in here. Let's be mediocre for another 5 years.
So he's 0-3, right? In bowl games? Am I correct with that one?
Yeah, 0-3 in bowl games.
Do we know who he was playing in those bowl games?
I can find out real quick.
Real quick, like, that'd be great.
He got beat by Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
In 2016. I'd hate to be a team that lost to Western Kentucky.
Okay.
He lost to Iowa State. That's okay. A funny little transition there. And then last year, he lost to Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. All right.
I don't understand it, Andy. You came at me, had come at you a little bit. Again, appreciate the phone call. But that's why we are sad on him. Now, I will say this. Dylan and I discussed this today after getting that message from you. We would have preferred him over Chad Morris 2 years ago. I'll give you that. But I just don't think that you can sit here and say that doing what he's doing at Memphis is going to somehow get better here at Arkansas, how his recruiting is going to somehow get better. Yes, you do have the allure of an SEC school playing in the SEC West, getting the opportunity to play number one teams pretty much on the year, on the yearly. But he's not getting it done in the AAC. If he's so good, if he's such a badass coach in the AAC, he should be able to handle business. And right now he's not. So
if you're outside of the Power Five in my eyes, and we're going to be looking at you, you have to have championship rings. And I'm not talking Jason Brown. I saw them wheels turning right there. I'm talking like, so he's gotten to the games. You got to win one of them. You've been there three times, I think, right? You got to win one of them. I'm saying 33% here in order to make that next step. And then also the bigger games. If you are a quality coach, you should be able to beat teams that are inside the Power Five, even if they're in the lower level of that. I'm talking about Wake Forest, and I'm talking about give me the other one. The other one outside.
Western Kentucky?
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
You got to be able to knock one of those off. And those two were close games. We'll give you that. But I think I watched at the Wake Forest one.
Well, there. But the thing is, though, too, and something that maybe we've discussed, I know for sure for a fact that we've discussed it off air, but, like, yeah, Memphis is, you know, he was talking about those running back stats and all that good stuff, quarterbacks bringing in. That is all good. putting up points the way Memphis typically does on a weekly basis is good. But the defense, I don't want another Bobby Petrino. Granted, best we've been in years and years and years, number three ranked under Bobby Petrino. But why did we lose?
Defense.
Why did we lose? Because of defense. Norvell has proven that he doesn't give a shit about defense as long as he can outscore you. I'm not about that. But, Andy, I will pose this question to you. What do you feel about getting Les Miles here?
Ooh, yeah. Leave him with a question. And also, I do want to say there are worse people in terms of, like,
yeah,
in my
Norvell's
eyes,
not the worst candidate at all. No.
We don't hate Norvell. I don't think we're at that. There are definitely other names that kind of make us cringe when we hear them, and a lot of them are kind of repeat
Lane
ones.
Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin is kind of one that just kind of scratches me a little bit. Bobby Petrino is another one.
No.
Yeah. But
no.
Anyway, we've got all worked up, and we might run past the pick 'em, so let's get into the pick 'ems. All right. So, bye week, so we got that going for us.
Come on, Lonnie, get her done this week.
All right. First off, we got Georgia at Auburn, and Georgia is the favorite at 2.5 points.
I'll take.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a pickle.
It's the end of the year, though. Malzahn's thinking about coming back to Arkansas. I'm going Georgia.
I mean, that's what we want, right? Everybody's we gotta get.
Gotta get Mal. He's from Arkansas.
We gotta make.
He is from Arkansas.
We gotta make sure Auburn loses so that we can hire Gus Malzahn.
Another good thing about Norvell, he went to UCA. My God, we don't get him in here.
All right, Georgia. That's mine.
Georgia's mine.
Moving on, this one kind of shocks me. Minnesota at Iowa, and I guess it's the home field advantage because Iowa is a 3-point favorite.
I think that the boat is rowing. Taking Minnesota.
I mean, I didn't take them last week, but that was kind of a psychology game there. hopefully I don't screw this up. Minnesota. All right. OU at Baylor. OU is a 10-point favorite. Undefeated Baylor.
Baylor, that's pretty juiced up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll take Baylor, man. Not saying Baylor's winning, just they cover the 10.
All right, I will go with the Sooners. They have to put a resume together to keep whatever hope they have. It's a long shot, but they definitely have to start winning some games.
Last two outings have not been great.
Yeah, so there's that. That team out of Austin, that Texas team, them Shorthorns, are going to go visit Iowa State, and Iowa State is the favorite here.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I thought that was a little crazy. But,
and Matt Campbell.
Yeah, Matt Campbell alert. So if you want to watch one of the candidates. So I am going to go. Well, we know where I'm going, Iowa State.
Yeah, you don't. I'm going to Iowa State as well. Did we? No, we didn't go chalk. All right. Got my log for you.
All right.
Think about this one. Wisconsin at Nebraska. Wisconsin's favored by 14.5. You don't have to tell me yours, obviously, but that is interesting to me because no matter what, Nebraska is not an easy place to play. Wisconsin, they're sort of tapering a little.
Yeah.
Wisconsin wins, but Nebraska makes it tough, covers 14.5.
Interesting. Well, I will stay silent on that one because I at least need to save some face here. All right, going back to the aforementioned Wake Forest at Clemson. And I might sound like a hypocrite here, but I say Wake Forest covers the 34.5 point spread. And that's probably going to be 32 points.
Big spread.
Yeah, that's strictly why. It was a tough one inside the top 25 for me to get one of those filled out for us. Oh, man. I'm excited, though. Bye weeks get to watch a little bit more football than normally because locked in on the Razorback game for whatever reason. A sucker there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to join in the action, you can hit us up again, 479-308-8605. What do you got for us? I've got actually, sorry, I forgot one more clip from the interview.
Oh.
Now, this was kind of a, I had to put this one in because I chuckled at it. And yeah. You ready for it?
Yeah, hit me with it.
All right, here it is.
You talk about knowing this program, knowing the history of this program. We've talked about a candidate pool. Could Barry Lunny Jr. be a candidate? Would you want to be the head coach at Arkansas?
Seriously?
So, khakis?
Oh, you grew up in Arkansas. You played here. You've been on
Tennessee.
You've been here on the staff for 7 years. No, I'm good.
No.
No. So,
all right, I'm a head out.
I am a head out. No, here's what Barry says.
Well, yes, Alyssa, obviously that's, you know, that's a dream of mine. But my focus right now is to get these guys their best opportunity to play their best football game they played this year.
Even when you're fielding dumb questions, you got to be nice. Shout out to Barry on that one. What you got for us as we head out here?
I think I've got two things. Andy, I appreciate you coming in.
Always. Yeah.
Looking forward to getting you on here and letting you shoot the shit with us for a little while.
There might be an Andy in Little Rock. I will definitely be happy to meet him. So.
Yeah, for the Missouri game.
Mm-hmm.
And my second thing is we are going to do a PSA.
Oh, man.
Quit adding players.
He's going to leave with that one. For the JRD Hawkcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to Luke, producer. I got to give you something here, man. I mean, you've got to bleep out two Andys, as always, with the work with Jordan and now myself. I mean, it's been a blast, 50-plus episodes. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Jordan. If you want to join the action, 479-308-8605. Call, text, 3-minute voicemails. You can join the action on Twitter at JRD Hawkcast. Until next time, and as always, woo pig suey. You'll see a little pride on my face, because I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be.